What's going on, beautiful people? This is Mr. No Excuses and my man Jay.
What's going on?
With another episode of the Hidden Truths Podcast, where we provide therapy through conversation, restoring trust and community advocacy, one conversation at a time. What are those skeletons you've been hiding in your closet? What are those uncomfortable conversations that you need to have that may be holding you back from your progress? The more we talk about it, the more we communicate openly and honestly about it, the more we can start trusting each other. The more we start trusting each other, the more we can start building and growing with each other. So that's what we're here to talk about with the Hidden Truths Podcast. Be sure to check us out and subscribe. We're available on all social media platforms and all listening platforms, Hidden Truths Podcast. What's up, Jay? Who we shouting out today?
All right, on the community spotlight today, we'll be shouting out a new company that I found out about from a lovely lady, Miss Bolton. She started Divinity Affairs. It's an international business and event management company here in Charlotte. And I think she said she started a couple years ago. They do event planning and different things dealing with different business associations. She left us some contact information, www.divinityaffairs.com, DivinityAffairs.com. Phone number 704-666-7826. So if anyone is interested in, you know, using this business or services, please contact Ms. Bolton and let her know that, you know, you heard on the podcast that, you know, we gave her a shout out to let her know that we are looking at black businesses and giving them, you know, their due diligence.
No doubt. So what's our good word for today, Jay?
Man, this is a good one. So today,
like everyone.
I know. I mean, every time we do one, man, I feel like it's like, man, this is better than the last one. But I mean, this is such good topics that, you know, a lot of people want to hear about. Sometimes is, you know, the topics we talk about are kind of the topics that are under the table. People don't really want to talk about. So today we're going to be talking about interracial dating. Very interesting topic. Something I see a lot going on in our area and other areas that I've traveled to. And today we have a great guest, one of the homies, close friends of ours today. Well, introduce yourself, sir.
What up? Travis Jones, from Charlotte, and know the fellas, Ernest and Jamie, for years now.
Long time. When we say friend, we mean friend. We just don't call you a friend for no reason. This is a homie, man.
Yeah, so I don't know. I'm happy to say more about myself. Like, I'm a diversity inclusion consultant, so professionally, you know, I'm connected to thinking about and also helping other people think about issues around race, gender, inclusion, diversity, stuff like that. Want to shout out, just recently did a TED Talk,
which is really excellent. Really dope.
I appreciate that. So, if you're interested from, you know, the conversation today, if folks want to go check it out, I got a little website up now, travisljones.com. You can see my TED Talk. I titled it Bad White People. I'm talking about
love the title.
How we just need, you know, more white people being rebellious about speaking up about issues. And even if you don't understand them, admitting that is kind of part of being bad. But anyway, TED changed my title. We can maybe get into that later. So if you're on YouTube, it's called Using Your Privilege to Fight Racism. I even wrote a whole letter on my website about how I kind of felt some kind of way that they changed the title.
Wow, I love that title, though, man. That title was dope. Bad White People? Yes.
Yeah. Why did they make you change the title?
I don't know. Y'all stop me if I go too far into it, but my take was, so the local organizers behind the scenes told me that a couple what I would consider good white liberal people were offended just at the title Bad White People. So they emailed them. And we're like, how dare you put up somebody who makes a distinction between bad white people and good white people? Which, of course, I'm using it like ironically. They didn't even read the bio.
Right. They didn't even listen to the talk, probably. Yeah.
So then, this is probably too much information. The local TED is separate from Big TED.
Right.
So I think the corporate powers that be, who knows? There's no way to contact them. I tried to like ask them, like, I think they have rights over my talk, so I'm not going to win there.
Right.
But I just wanted to like hear what their reasoning was, because I don't use the word, I use the word privilege in some of my professional kind of corporate diversity and inclusion work, but I really wanted this talk to be, you know, I said on my website, the talk I would have wanted to hear way back when I wasn't thinking about race.
Right.
In my own life or in America or whatever, because I was really trying to like connect with people on a different kind of level. You know what I mean?
Right.
So yeah. Look, just to let y'all know, and I'm just shouting, it's not, it is because it's my homie, but besides that, the talk is dope. I really enjoyed it. So if you could do it one more time, Trad, just let people know where they can find and listen to it at. Just to try it out, guys. Listen to it.
I appreciate that. Go to my website, travisljones.com. The talk's titled Bad White People on YouTube. Travis Jones TED Talk Charlotte will get you there.
Cool. So okay. Since we're talking about bad white people, not in the term of like horrible, but let's talk about how like badass white people. Trav, you're a badass white boy, man. I'm telling you, I love you to death, man. And the years we've known you, we've seen each other in the dating field and seen each other, some of the people we've encountered and stuff like that. So I'm pretty sure he agrees with me. We thought you'd be the perfect person to be on here and just express some of the things you've gone through. And I know I've gone through dating some, I guess, some people outside of my, you know, race and stuff like that. So we just, you know, want to talk a little bit about that. What's one of the points you want to start off with today?
So that's actually a good segue is, have you ever dated outside your race? And if so, why or why not? So I'll go ahead and start it off. I have. Back in college and, you know, periodically through my post-college years as well, just like to try something different. Come from a town, shout out to Laurinburg, North Carolina.
Laurinburg.
Yeah, Laurinburg, LBG, 910.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So predominantly Black and Native American. So there wasn't a lot of diverse dating options. But then when I got to college, that really opened my eyes to different cultures, different ethnicities, different ways of partying, different ways of just enjoying life. So that kind of opened my eyes. I'm like, wow, okay, let me see what this flavor tastes like. Let me check out this flavor. And then especially once I started traveling more and really expanding my horizons, going outside the country, that even opened my eyes up more. So for me, I've never had a issue with dating outside the race. I never had a, you know, problem with it. What about you, Jay?
Yes, I have tried it, but some people would say that it's not really dating outside my race because some people misunderstand what dating outside the race really is. So I have dated a African girl, and people would consider that because I'm Black, they'll be like, oh, that's not dating outside the race. But Africans actually are different than, you know, American Black people. So I have dated an African woman, beautiful African woman. She was very cool, very nice, but we come from two different worlds, two different mm-hmm. backgrounds. So I dated her for a while, and man, different world. They party different. They do a lot of house parties. I wasn't used to that, where they get together, they make a couple phone calls, they got 50 people in one house getting mm-hmm. it. I'm like, wow, that's crazy.
Did they have the fish with the head on it?
Yes. Yes.
Where was she from?
I don't remember.
Nigeria? There's a lot of them over here.
I actually think so. I think so. Yeah. She was. And just different, man. But we didn't talk long. And I think it was mainly because her family was really into their, you know, background and stuff. So they wanted her to talk to somebody that was
of her race.
Exactly. You know, that was interesting. African, you know, so that didn't last long. I was really young too, so I didn't really understand it as much. I was more like, on to the next one. That's cool.
Yeah.
But now that I'm older, I kind of look back and I'm like, man, I wonder what that would, you know, if I could have looked at it differently and said to myself, you know, just maybe try to understand, you know, her culture a little bit different, would have been a little different. But yeah, I tried it. There's a couple other ones I never got to, but you know. What about you, Trey?
Let's see. I'll start with where E started, because, and this will give folks maybe a little bit of background on me. So I grew up, I claim that I'm a Charlottean, but real folks that are from Charlotte, when they hear that I grew up kind of closer to Matthews, Union County, are like, yeah, you're not a real Charlottean.
Oh, come on. That's Charlotte.
I mean, I would say Charlotte. So
I definitely would say Charlotte.
I wouldn't.
Right now.
Really?
I call it Mecklenburg County.
No, but it's even farther than that. I would have gone to like Independence Butler if the county lines were drawn a little bit different.
Okay.
But because I didn't, they bust a bunch of us like neighborhood kids 20 miles out towards like Marshville, Monroe. So I went to like an all-white school. A lot of people don't know this when we first kind of meet or whatever. All-white schools, all-white churches, predominantly white, not all
white. Right, I got you.
So like E, it wasn't until later in life till I started having more diverse experiences, going to a big state school. I lived in Brooklyn, New York for a while. and traveled around.
Where'd you go to school, Trey?
Well, I went to CP for a while, transferred credits, and then UNC Charlotte.
Yeah, so. Tuck me and Trey like brother, same thing.
Pretty much.
I don't know if I knew that.
Yeah, I went to CP, transferred credits, and went to UNC Charlotte.
Because I guess the rest of the fellas went to USC, right?
A lot of them.
Yeah, a couple of them did, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
I don't know if I knew you were a 49er.
Yes, sir, 49er all day. All day.
and I rep it, too. I got a couple degrees. That's where I did my master's, too.
Okay.
But anyway, so to answer your question, yes, I've dated interracially almost kind of exclusively at some point in my life, but not like kind of until later in my 20s.
Okay.
Not exclusively, but like significantly, I'll say. And maybe for some other background. So I'm 36, and y'all know this, but folks listening don't. I've been in a few long-term relationships, but for the most part, I've been single my whole life. So I've done a lot of dating, you know what I mean? Yeah. So that like adds into the picture.
Right. So let me ask this, Trav. One of the questions we're going to ask, why? What made you?
That one, I don't know if I should probably have a clear answer for this. You know, probably, and I'm in some ways kind of thinking out loud now, but when I lived in Brooklyn, that was kind of one of my first like true cross-cultural experiences from the South.
Gotcha.
Where I was from to like not just in the North in a big urban city, but you know, the neighborhood I lived in was predominantly non-white. I think it was like 98% black, but like you said, the diaspora broadly, Caribbean, West African. So some of it was just being around women that you wouldn't be around normally.
Right.
So just who you're kind of connected to. But also in that era of my life, like in my 20s, I was, you know, reflecting on all the kind of like ways that shape how I was seeing the world anyway.
Right.
Like for most people, I think it's just an automatic assumption. It either happens organically, consciously, unconsciously. You end up with people that are similar to you because they're in your same networks. And the more you do to disrupt that, at least for me, it opened up that I was just open or willing to whoever kind of crossed my path. So.
Yeah. I mean, it's usually a lot of people typically end up dating. Most people end up dating what they grew up around because that's what you're used to. Mm-hmm. That's what you're used to. So you have to almost make a conscious effort to try something different. You know, it's almost like getting used to eating a certain meal every day because that's the way you're used to eating. But not until you meet somebody that prepares their food a different way and you're like, I kind of like that.
Mm-hmm. Brussels sprouts.
Let me get some of that asparagus.
You know, I get what you're saying, E, but do you ever think that sometimes how you brought up kind of brings who you may date as well? Because, like, when I was coming up, my mom used to throw little hints that would stick in my head. Don't bring somebody home if you can't use your comb type thing.
And yeah, I'm that just was like, a classic saying.
Yeah, I guess it stuck with me, but that never stopped me. I mean, you know.
I never heard that.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's.
That's more of a black thing.
I've heard that so many times in my lifetime. Yeah. I guess I never did, though. Now that I think about it, I never brought. I guess it worked.
Well, I used to bring dreadheads home, so that I guess that don't count.
No,
that
don't use combs.
I am interested in that, though. I mean, my guess would be generally in America, white families would be, you know, much more like, I mean, that sounds like a kind of catchy one-liner, but they would be explicitly, I think, sending messages to their kids not to interracially date. But I have been curious about that, like, American black families, you know, their relationship to that.
Did you ever grow up with any kind of, you know, quantitation to stuff like that where your family might have threw subtle hints or anything like that, or was just kind of free and open to do what you want?
Nah, free and open, you know. So later in life, I asked both of my parents. My dad's since passed, and both of them, I mean, I knew kind of my mom. So my mom was like kind of a hippie in her own right, I think, in some ways.
Gotcha.
But she's always worked in corporate America. So really diverse kinds of places. And the reason I say that is like where I grew up, there was a lot of like white stay at home mom kind of that kind of thing. So I think my mom has her own interesting story that opened her up. She's always had friends of different races, things like that. But never like kind of sit down talks. But gotcha. I think that probably has more to do with like our family culture. I'm real close to my mom. We're almost like friends as much as, you know.
That's what's up.
Yeah, because I remember seeing the picture where y'all was on the bike together.
Right. Yeah, so anyway, my family's probably just a little weird. But yeah, no, I never got explicit messages, but you know, when you're white living in America, you get messages everywhere about who, you know, turn on any commercial movie, TV, mm-hmm. friends, you know, you don't have to do a lot of thinking for you to just end up with somebody that looks like you, I think.
Right, because that's one of the other key pieces is the societal pressures and influences, you know, especially now because you see it, it's so prevalent in commercials, TV, movies, all the above. And typically what you see is black woman, white man. Mm-hmm. You really don't see a lot of it the other way around. I mean, you think Walking Dead, you think How to Get Away with Murder, you think Scandal, you know, all those mainstream mm-hmm. shows where, you know, it's always a white guy of power almost being the savior to the desperate black woman.
Mm-hmm. That's really interesting because, so another little background before I got into diversity and inclusion consulting, mm-hmm. I think y'all know this, but I taught sociology for 3 years at a community college.
I remember that.
And one of my classes was sociology of the family, I think it was. Mm. And I love teaching that class because there's sociologists that study all this stuff. And one of the things that's interesting about what E just said is, and I don't know the numbers now because it's been years, so everybody look them up if you're listening. But for the most part, like black women, white men is still the statistical minority in terms of right. interracial relationships.
It is.
There's way more black men that date interracially than black women, I think.
Yeah, I mean, so you're exactly
that's
right.
That's highlighted, you know, yeah. more.
And you have to ask, why is that? Because you see it everywhere. And when most people think interracial, they think black and white.
Mm-hmm.
But interracial means just dating outside your race. You don't see Asians and Latino. Mm-hmm. You don't see Swedish and Russian. Mm-hmm. You don't see, you know, Australian and Vietnamese.
Mm-hmm.
What you see is black and white.
Yep.
And it gets extrapolated to make it seem that white men, black women is the predominant issue or the predominant type of couple, but in reality, that's, like you said, it's the minority. So you have to ask, well, what message are they really trying to send here?
And I think it's interesting though. You see a lot more changes coming into the world now. Like, have you ever watched some of the commercials? It's like marketing is really pushing more of that mm-hmm. diversity. But I've seen cereal commercials where it's a black guy and we'll say a Caucasian woman, and they have a family of mixed kids, and it's like they're pushing that more because maybe our reality is coming to that where it's more open for us to date interracially.
Possibly, and I don't see anything wrong with interracial dating. You know, you date who you want or whatever.
Yeah.
But I always look at the hidden agenda behind it. Why? Why do you always see this? For example, going back to the example you just used, I think it was back in like 2013, I think it was a Cheerios commercial mm-hmm, where mm-hmm. it was a black man, white woman, and it had a mixed daughter. And there wasn't anything abstract or vulgar about the commercial. It was a Cheerios commercial.
Didn't that commercial get pulled or something?
It got pulled.
I remember that.
Yeah, the backlash. So why the backlash from that commercial when there's a black man and a white woman, but the white man, black woman, that's kind of the norm when you look at interracial dating in a social context.
Mm-hmm. I was going to ask you, do you have your own like theory of some kind of agenda or like a message that they might want to be?
Yeah. The easiest way to destroy the black family, one of the easiest ways, is through perpetuating dating outside your race, specifically dating the Caucasian ethnicities, because statistically speaking, facts show that after 3 or 4 generations of interracial dating and breeding, that child, you can't even tell they're black anymore after about 3 or 4 generations. So that's the bigger context I see. Now, are we going to run out of black people? No, I'm not saying that, but that's one of the fronts of which black families are being attacked, is by purposefully injecting these images of interracial dating. And, you know, for all the listeners, I don't want you to get my words twisted and think that I have anything against interracial dating. I don't, but it's the agenda that I have the issue with. So that's my perspective on that. What about you, Trav? Because I'm always interested to hear from a different race's background on that, or viewpoints. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I was kind of asking you because I don't know. I mean, I'm thinking on the fly here because it would be interesting to me if we could like line up 100 top shows and movies and actually see, because you named three or four with white male lead, black female actors.
Yeah, as the couple.
Yeah, I'd be curious if it actually is disproportionate that.
I agree with him though. Like I've been sitting here thinking, I really can't think of many movies where it's the opposite.
Yeah.
Other than what's the movie with the girl dancing? Oh, the same thing. Never mind.
The movie with the girl dancing.
Yeah. What was the one? Was it Save the Last Dance? Something like that.
Oh yeah.
Well, I don't. Yeah, I don't.
Well, that was a white girl and a black guy.
Yeah, that's why I said.
You're just talking about interracial dating.
Yeah. But I'm just saying, to your point, I can't think of a different where it's more of the opposite.
And you have to think, well, why don't you see more examples of, you know, if we're going to talk about interracial dating, of races of a variety versus just black and white, or, you know, black man, black woman. You really don't see that a lot unless it's on a black channel or a movie with a predominantly black cast.
Mm-hmm. Or not even black. Why don't they have other races?
Yeah, that's what I was just saying.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Interracial dating doesn't just mean black and white. So that's why you have to ask, well, why is that?
Yeah. I see this in my work all the time. Just Americans in general, when we talk about race, becomes a black-white conversation. Mm-hmm. But I think rightfully so, given our history.
Exactly. It's a historical context to it.
Yeah. And I mean, things are changing. But on the other hand, too, in the last probably 5 or 6 years, some of like Latino folks in conversations, both on the community level, there's been a lot of people don't know Charlotte's one of the largest fastest growing Latino cities in the country.
Where?
What's that?
Where
are the Latinos?
Yes.
East and West Charlotte.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Mecklenburg County was, I think, the fastest growing county for Latino growth in the city.
I mean, they have Latino Heritage Month.
Yeah.
They have that everywhere, though.
Yeah.
That's not
over
new.
Down South Boulevard. But
what's funny is, I'm going to tell you why it's funny. When y'all just told me where, I just realized that I don't go to those sides of town.
No.
We live.
Where you get your tacos from, Jay?
You know what?
South Boulevard, Central Avenue.
Sabarro's. Is that the name of the spot?
Yeah, that's Dominican owned.
Yeah, I mean.
That dude's blown up.
I think it's funny when you start thinking about, I'm not trying to get off the interracial dating thing, but we have segments and pockets of places where people live. And when you live in a certain area, you usually don't travel much outside of that area because everything you need is there. I live on the north side. Shit, I ain't got to go to the South. So I can tell you the last time I've been to Carolina Place Mall. Years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's part of it. Like, quote unquote, invisible community. So, I mean, my point is, like, a lot of brown folks have said, we need to, like, I get the black-white conversation in America for obvious reasons, but what about brown people? And even now, you know, statistically, Latinos are the largest
racial minority
group in the country. Yeah, sociology predict if with demographic shifts and all that, like, 1 in 4 Americans will be, like, Spanish-speaking and, like, 50 years if, you know, trends don't change. So,
wow.
I think African-American in U.S. is still 13-15%, something like that. Latinos are already 20-something percent of the U.S. population.
Wow. Yeah. Growing quick.
So. And they breed fast, too, which would explain the population increase.
Yeah, birth rates.
Yeah, I mean, they're very fertile. That's
cold,
fact.
Cold winters, boy.
Yeah.
Locked up in the house. Got this something.
Yeah, so let me ask y'all this. In terms of what we see in the interracial dating world, why do you feel like it's so heavily pushed? And why it's so prevalent?
Well, so to me, and this is my honest opinion, I think it's a business thing. I think it comes down to business because you think about it. When you have a certain group of people that's buying, or you see a certain group of people that's growing, why would you not push towards that so you can get their business as well? You don't want to push away from it. That's like when you talk about I always say it's LGBT. Am I saying that right? Mm-hmm. Think about how before this, there was no push to, you know, publicly show commercials or publicize, you know, we accept this. But then again, the community, the LGBT community is growing so much that we have no choice but to, because they spend money just like we do. So why would we not want to push that so we can get that business as business owners and stuff like that? You don't want to count out dollars, because at the end of the day, a dollar ain't got no color. You know what I mean by color.
It's green, I understand what you're saying.
It's all the same. It spends the same. So they're pushing more because they're like, we can't get out of this market. If we don't if we don't change with the times, then we get left behind and we don't make it. So businesses have to adapt because they don't want to get left behind. Millennials are changing. What they do is changing. For a prime example, real quick, have y'all seen the new banks coming out?
New what?
The new bank centers.
No.
So when you go to a bank, you stand in a line at a teller. Now banks are looking like Starbucks now. And the first ones are going to be Citi. I think it's Citi, if I'm not mistaken. So when you walk in, it's like a Starbucks. You take a number, but you got coffee. You can buy coffee. You can watch TV. You get on Wi-Fi. But they're making it more so it's more comfortable, more relaxing. Mm-hmm. More like a place to relax and chill. When have we ever seen a bank like that in our society? But they're doing it because more millennials or more people want that. So they have to change. Same with interracial. They have to change. They're going to get left behind. Big business don't get left behind. They change to make money.
But what do you really have to change in terms of, because regardless of what your race is, you're still going to need certain critical pieces when you're talking about a business. Let's take Macy's, for example, as a clothing store. Other than maybe their hiring practices, you know, if they're specifically excluding people, I don't know. But as far as them just making money, what does pushing an interracial agenda have to do with their ability to sell to anybody?
Because it takes nothing for one company to say we don't sell to them for another company to make millions off of it.
But so, who's saying that they don't?
It's a standard. It's just a standard. If I'm publicizing that, hey, I'm for it, and another company doesn't do nothing about it, who's going to get more business? The business that's saying, hey, come over here. We accept this. Besides, if you don't say nothing, it's kind of like, oh, it's almost like a thought. It's almost like a self-drawn thought that, wow, Belk's doesn't say anything about us, but Macy says, hey, they love us, so why not go to a place where we're loved and we're taken in? It doesn't matter if they don't say it. It's just all about, hey, what are you showing me now? You're showing me you like this? Well, we're going to support you. That's all it is. That's just like when you have somebody getting elected. It's all about what you say now. If he don't say it and the other man say it, I'm going to go with the other man just because of what he says.
I don't really see that as much in the black community, though. We tend to throw our dollars anywhere regardless of who's supporting us or not.
That's why they don't have to worry about us. We always going to spend. They worry about the people that they haven't got to yet. Mm-hmm. Black people, we spend the most out of anybody. So it's almost like they know. They do this market research. We don't have to spend money on the black community because we know they're going to spend it. But in racial communities and LGBT and all that, we need to buff that up. So let's go do it. But you're right, E. Why spend money on us when we're going to do it anyway?
Right.
So ain't no point in wasting that.
So you're saying you think it's more just marketing and business.
It's all marketing and business. I got you. At the end of the day.
I can see that point. What about you, Drell?
What you think?
Yeah, I think that's a good... my big take, and this is why I like, you know, it was interesting when I saw the topic was interracial relationships, because I kind of honestly can't really remember the last time I've had a real thoughtful conversation about that, because to be real honest with you, it's kind of lower on my list of all the other interracial things that we should be talking about,
right,
you know, in our country around race.
Right.
But I think E's right. So like, I don't follow these accounts, but you know, people like there's hashtag swirl and like, you know, these kind of celebrations. Mm-hmm. I think there's even dating apps for intentionally, you know.
Oh yeah. It's a lot of it.
You know, So my take on that is, and this is, you know, to your point, like who's got the money and the power to be pushing out like movies, TVs, commercials and stuff? Liberal kind of educated people. Mm-hmm. Probably of all races, but you know, if we talk about who owns media, stuff like that.
Right.
And there's something about liberals who see racism as only interpersonal. So I'm not racist. I don't say racist jokes, or I'm not racist because I have my best friend's black, that whole thing. Mm-hmm. And then now, and I see this a lot in my work, like I'm not racist because my spouse is of a different race. And it's, that shows up in our movies too. And I wonder if like in the liberal imagination that, to like show to our customers we're so great and inclusive, look at, and here's how great we are, you know, black man, white woman, white man, black woman, etc. So I think it's a way for like brands and, you know, kind of people to like project. Here's how good I think people do see it as a net good or net positive, which I think is, you know, kind of problematic, which is why I'm kind of like, yeah, I'm not, you know, I date interracially because, well, for lots of reasons, maybe we get into that, but some of it's just who's in my networks,
right?
Who's most likely to maybe, you know, agree with me politically or socially.
Yeah, it's who you like vibe with.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And so, And I would, you know, I do and am open to dating, you know, women from any background. But yeah, so I think one of the reasons it's pushed is because, especially now, but probably always, like, the powers that be want to do whatever they can to project that, like, racism is over or going to be over in America. And one of the ways we can do that is, like, show two people with different skin color loving each other. So.
And that's really all it is a projection, because that's been going on since slavery times. Mm-hmm. You know, the master was always in this, had someone in the slave quarters that he was knocking down. So just because you see an interracial couple doesn't mean that racism doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. That's just a blanket cover to give the perception that we're inclusive or that we've moved past these hurdles. But we still, even to this day, see some of the same issues, regardless of how many interracial or black and white couples that we may see on TV or out in the open in our regular society. Mm-hmm. Regardless of how much of that we see, we still have the same issues that we're dealing with. Mm-hmm. So to that point, it does become problematic, like you said, mm-hmm. because it gives the illusion of progress.
Yeah.
Oh, I applaud it, though. Anytime I see it, I applaud it, because that means you broke the barriers that people put in place. That
you applaud what?
When I see interracial dating, I used to be like, oh, you took another sister, what the hell? But now it's like, as you grow and understand the world that we live in, you understand that it's not about somebody taking somebody from our race and, you know, one less black woman or one less Caucasian woman or one less Indian woman. It's more that, you know, somebody's making that person happy and, you know, giving them some, just happiness. So I just feel like for somebody to be able to go through the hoops and hurdles that it takes to date somebody, because I don't know, Trav, you've actually gone through it, you probably have, but it's not easy meeting parents of another race or, well, you know, you ain't been in a relationship in a while, but you know.
Yeah, ain't been to parents.
I mean, even friends. I mean, people look at you so differently sometimes. So just for somebody to break those barriers, I applaud that. I have a couple coworkers I've seen that have gotten married to another race, and it's like, man, that's great, man, that you actually went through what it took to get through that. Like, you got to go through your parents, her parents, friends, coworkers, because when you bring it to a work event, you know, you get looks.
Both of them were black women, you said?
Well, no. Well, my coworker was a black male, and he dated a white female from the job, and they end up getting married. But it's like, wow. You know, they look at it. No matter how much you want to say, people want to say accept it, people always, when you turn your back, they look like, really?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I just applaud it. That's all.
Yeah. I would say, like, to E's point about why, you're going to have me thinking about this. Would you list Scandal? Anyway, three or four other ones. The white male lead.
What's the murder one?
Okay. How to Get Away with Murder.
Yeah. Scandal.
Scandal. Walking Dead.
Oh, and there's movie, so many. The movie just came out, too, with the same girl from How to Get Away with Murder. And she was married to a high-powered white guy on the movie. I just can't think of the name of the movie now.
But that's what I was going to say. Like, for me, this has always been my life experience, which is part of the problem of, like, racism in America, is I've always felt welcomed and comfortable in predominantly black spaces in ways that someone who is non-white going into a white church or a white office or a white brewery or something, you know, wouldn't be. And I think that spills over into dating, too. I mean, I think there's a part of... you know, even like the parents of women that I've dated who have not been white have been incredibly, like, gracious. Now, I don't know what happens behind the scenes, right? If, what was it? Can't use the comb, don't bring them home. So, you know, and we haven't even gotten to that, but, like, I understand that, we respect that. And I've been with women who I've dated who've been like, you know, I'm happy to hang out and have a good time, but I'm just going to be honest with you. I imagine my husband being black. And I want to have a black family, something that I value and is important. Like, I totally respect that and get that.
I think it's interesting, though, Trav. Like, as long as I've known you, you have been you. And I've known people to be of a... So, say you have a Caucasian male, but is trying to act like a black male. You know, and you don't do that, Trav. You just who you are, and you're accepted. That's what's crazy. Like, I'm with you. Everywhere we go, it's no different than who we are.
And that's,
same person.
And that's one thing I wanted to touch on, too, is what I usually see in a lot of interracial relationships from a personal level, what I've witnessed is usually the black person tends to kind of wear a mask. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like they're true to self. They tend to adapt more of the white, the philosophies and beliefs of their white spouse. But you usually don't see that the other way around. And so that's one of the things that I see and I notice and, you know, kind of take a step back and say, why is that? Because if it's truly about love, then I'm going to be who I am regardless of who I'm in a relationship with.
Mm-hmm. That is a crazy question to y'all too. I'm just throw this out there. Do you think that maybe some races are more acceptable than others?
Acceptable? As far as...
So like me and Trav was just talking about how he can go in one place and be accepted, but he also can go into like a black community and be accepted. Could that be because maybe we're more accepted to people of not our race and other races aren't? You get what I'm saying, Trav?
I would say so without a doubt. My friend Tressie, who's from Charlotte, she just wrote a book called Thick, which I would recommend to listeners. And she has this chapter called Know Your Whites. And her whole point is like, just being in a white dominant society and not being white, you automatically have to be attuned to understanding white people, either because of survival or just because you might be an outsider in your school, in your playground or the whatever. I think that would go one way to, you know, a long ways of explaining it. But I'm thinking about way back, kind of another era of my life of like being a part of white churches and black churches. And having like black folks come and visit the white church and just a revolving door, like never feeling welcome.
Exactly.
That was never my experience. And
there's a historical context with that.
Yeah, for sure.
There's, throughout black history, there has always been this aspiration and this, you know, this projection that we always see that everything white is all right. Mm-hmm. You know, if I want good credit, I got to be with a white person. You know, if I want to get advantages in life, I need to be of a lighter complexion. I mean, even, you know, back in slavery times and before that and even post-segregation, you had black folks trying to pass as white. So white was always the goal. So that's one of the reasons why, from a historical context, that even today, blacks are more accepting of whites versus the other way around.
Blacks are more accepted, period. I won't even just say whites. I think we're more accepted to all different types of races. Because, like, mm-hmm. There's some Indian people that are mad cool. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, wow, that's cool. I get what you're saying. Not downplaying what you're saying. Mm-hmm. I just think blacks are really accepted to who comes into the area. Like, if you're cool and we know you're cool, you're all right with us.
Right, right. And that's true. I mean, and that's kind of who we are. That's who we are. That's in our culture to just be welcoming and loving and embracing of all races.
Break bread with a lot of different people.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So another point I want to hit on before we get ready to wrap it up. One of the main issues that I take is when people, specifically black people, say, I don't want to date black people. I want to date a white person. You know, how many times do we see that? When we see it in social media, we hear it a lot. You know, I've even had or heard from mutual friends that they have other friends who specifically will only date a white woman or a white man because they feel like that is the preferred way to go. Black men will date white women because they feel like they're easier and less drama filled. Black women will date white men because they feel like they have more advantages, financial advantages. And it almost becomes a self-hating mentality when you say, I don't want to date something that looks like me or what I came from.
Damn, E, you raised the hardest question right before we were about to wrap up. I'm glad you brought that up because this goes against kind of my whole philosophy it's elevated to a level, interracial dating is elevated to a level that erases all this other shit that we should be talking about. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm with you. So like a red flag for me is if I'm dating a woman and I pick up on if she's like, you know, I'm not dating black men, whether it's, you know, they cheat or they bash whatever. Them. Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. That's a red flag for me. I mean, one, because you're going to learn, not necessarily with me, but like men are men. And I know there's like racial differences that probably show up in our relationships and the way we think about love and all that kind of stuff. But nah, for the most part, I'm with you. I guess on the thing about women making class decisions, like who I should marry to be financially, I don't know, maybe that gets like more complicated. But anyway, I'm glad that you brought that up, because that is, I think, incredibly problematic, the way that, if that's your motivation.
And you see that more and more now, even in younger ages, younger adults, teenagers, you hear them saying, well, I don't want to date black men. I don't want to date black women. All I want is white man, white woman. And then, of course, when you see these types of interracial relationships more and more and more, that becomes the norm. And you mm-hmm. tend to forget, well, what about these sisters and brothers out here who also need the same love that I'm giving to all these other races? And again, not saying there's anything wrong with interracial dating, but there is a problem if you're doing it specifically because you bash your own race. Mm-hmm. So any closing thoughts before we get ready to wrap this thing up?
I have no issues with any race. I love my black women, but I have no issues with any race. I'm starting to not see color. And that's just me being older, getting older. I think everybody's pretty cool, man. Like, I have a good friend, Trav. He's not black, but to me, he's just my friend. He's somebody I can call if, you know, I need something. So it's just one of those things nowadays, as you get older, hopefully people will start catching on earlier that, like you said, it's not about color. It's just about finding people that mesh with you. So that's my words. You know, what about you, Trav?
I feel like I've come across kind of critical, and I'm feeding off E here too, like interracial dating. But let me just, for the record, probably say, life is messy. If you find somebody who you vibe with, like if I had to check the box, like I think there's a lot of problems with interracial dating and the way we talk about it and the way it shows up in our media. But for the most part, like, life is hard enough. If you find somebody you vibe with, and I do have to say there's been a lot of positives in my experience dating outside my race, because I've also gotten exposure to lots of other stuff that I wouldn't. Mm-hmm. So definitely I want to like kind of be on record for saying that I'm grateful for the folks that I've gotten to know through my relationships. I just think the way we elevate it is a problem.
Right. You know the way it's portrayed.
Yeah. And right. I think your racism can even be heightened in a relationship with somebody not your race, because you're like, it just gives you the perfect lifetime defense. I'm not racist. I married it.
Exactly.
But the other part happens too, right? You could be in a relationship with somebody who checks you on stuff and helps you see like your biases and like, you know, why did you just say that? Or why not this? Right.
Right.
So, and that's been the case for me too. Like, and I love that, you know, some of the women in my life that I've dated have been able to be like, that's problematic. And I'm like, yeah, you know, you're right.
Right. It opens your eyes. There's growth in that.
Exactly.
And that's, you know, that's how it should be. I mean, at the end of the day, all of us have more in common than we have difference. Mm-hmm. All of us go to work. All of us have to get dressed. All of us want families. All of us want to be, you know, well off financially. So we all have more in common. It's just the differences are what get embellished. At the end of the day, love everybody. It's a shame that isn't the message that gets portrayed, though. And that's not the undercurrent in what we see. But again, on the Hit and Choose podcast, we're all about having these open dialogues so that we can get to the point in rebuilding and restoring trust and community advocacy. So that's why we exist, to do what we do. So as always, we appreciate my man Trav for coming on Blazing
the
Set.
Yeah, I appreciate the invite.
Come back and, have another session with us on a different topic.
No doubt.
I appreciate it. All right,
and be sure to check out that TED Talk again. Yes, please do support. Yes. Always support. Well, with that, ladies and gentlemen, kings and queens, stay up. We out.